coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight. A couple new contracts in the NFL. A surprising new contract in the NBA. And the Dodgers get their man, but it's not the man you're thinking about. We begin today's show on a sad note, actually. Bronny James, the son of LeBron James, was rushed to the emergency room 2 days ago as he went to cardiac arrest after a USC practice. He was taken out of the ICU yesterday. Seems to be on the road to the recovery. Z, what are your thoughts on Bronny, LeBron, and USC basketball?
Well, first things first, I think it's important that we extend our well wishes to the James family, to Bronny, to LeBron, to, you know, everyone in the James family that had to go through this ordeal. You know, as a parent, you're a parent, you know, while I am not a birth parent, I do, you know, I have parental responsibilities, parental roles, and it's like the scariest thing you can.
That phone call saying, you have to get to Cedar Sinai Hospital immediately, code 3 lights and sirens.
Like, you automatically assume the worst, right? It has, you know, you automatically have to think, oh my God, am I going to see my son again?
Hmm.
And that has to be the most harrowing moment of a parent's life. Hmm. And then, fortunately for Bronny, practice was in session while he was on campus. Right? Because if he was just playing a pickup basketball game, God knows where, right? Would he have had the access to the quality of care that he had? Because Cedars-Sinai is one of the best medical centers in the country. Never mind.
He's one of the best in the country. So he's very lucky, very fortunate that
that this occurred in a space where he was able to get access immediately to quality. Ready and willing to jump into action. And immediately,
you think I had
gathered.
That one had, that incident had drugs involved.
None of that appears to be the case here. We don't know because a lot of the details we are not out of respect for LeBron, but also,
you know, that's a credit to
LeBron's camp for keeping it, you know, close to the vest, as he should, you know, as a parent. That's his son. It's his
right
to, you know, as far as what happens next, you know, you can't
even think about basketball at this point.
I think about the DeMar Hamlin situation, right? Immediately come to mind. Basketball doesn't immediately come to mind. How is this kid going to recover? And he's a kid. He is a kid. Regardless of that, he's LeBron James Jr., and he's going to be like the next chosen one, and he's going to, you know, get a legacy of the name for years to come. He's still an 18-year-old kid. And we need to keep that in mind. We have to be respectful of that. And, you know, make sure that he is healthy and whole and physically before we can even about basketball. Like, you know, health, family, that's got to come first right now. It's trite to say. You know, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow is promised to no one. Every day is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Yeah, it's bigger than basketball. It's terrifying. It just makes you think about your own longevity, your own legacy. It does. It makes you think about your children, your stepchildren, people you care about that are in your circle. And how would you handle the situation? You know, there's no foul play here, like you said, and they're pretty much keeping everything close to the vest, which I think is good, but, you know, I think a conversation is going to have to be had. They're going to have to try to figure out, like, you know, how did this happen? Could it happen again? You know, what, and you're, like you said, thank goodness he's on USC's campus. Thank God it was at a practice. He wasn't playing a pickup game with his friends. Because Lord knows that that does happen. It happens every day where you're playing a basketball game and someone does drop dead. Someone gets hit in the chest. Someone, you know, something happens that night. It happens, you know, and it's, you know, we're all human. We all bleed, you know. And it's just, I'm glad he's okay, you know. It could have been a lot worse. And hopefully they can. And Damar Hamlin was great because I believe Damar Hamlin did reach out to the king and the court and everybody and saying, hey, you guys were there for me. You supported me. I'm here for you. And that's the good thing about sports. You know, we all come together. I truly believe that all the prayers everybody sent to Damar Hamlin really did aid in his recovery. I truly believe that. I truly believe it's a miracle that he's in training camp, full go, no restrictions. I mean, that's amazing, man. It's the power of prayer.
It's the power of prayer, and it's the power of modern medicine. Like, again, how long?
Yes. Yes.
Hamlin down on the. How long was he down? But they were able to revive him because they got in there. The Buffalo got in there, and they made sure that they worked on this kid, and they worked on him, and they worked on him, and they didn't give up. And that's a credit to the training staff of the Bills. It's a credit to the USC training staff because they didn't let up.
Yeah,
they didn't give up.
Just keep doing compressions. Keep doing compressions, and keep talking. Keep putting air in his lungs. You know, keep the blood flowing. So, thoughts and prayers with the James family. Still, hope he keeps getting better and better every day, and I hope they can figure out a way for this not to happen again.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Sticking with basketball, let's cheer up the show a little bit. In a surprising move, not against my advice, the Boston Celtics offered Jaylen Brown a supermax contract, making him the highest paid player in NBA history. Z, last I checked, he was not even the best player on his team. So did the Celtics do the right thing in signing Jaylen Brown to Supermax contract, and where do they go from here?
So what I've also heard that some people consider Jaylen Brown the fourth or fifth best player. So there's something to be said about that. You know, he's behind Derek White at this point. I think it's a stretch, personally. Like, I don't necessarily. I mean, he's certainly not better than Jason Tatum. It's debatable if he's better than Kristaps Porzingis, right? To me, he's the third best player, depending on how he's playing. Because if he did in the postseason, it's bad. Like, I would have taken Marcus Smart over him. And Marcus Smart is not there anymore.
Marcus Smart's gone.
Marcus Smart is gone. Exactly. So,
you know, 5 years, $304 million. Now,
that's like $60 million
a year. Wow.
To play basketball.
Yeah. For a career average of 17.9 points, 5 and 2.2 assists.
Solid.
And he is, yeah, solid. Yeah. But not, he is not the straw that stirs the drink on the Boston Celtics. He doesn't do that. Like, it's Jason Tatum's team. Now, you're telling Jaylen Brown is worth this much. How much are you extending Jason Tatum for? How much of a raise are you going to give him?
Yeah, I think he was the most excited. I think he was more. Yeah.
You're telling me Brown is worth this. Be worth more, right?
I think Tatum was more excited than Brown about this deal. I mean, this is just crazy. This is absolutely absurd. And I hate everyone coming on and defending the Celtics and saying they had to do this deal. They didn't have a choice. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They didn't have to do anything. They don't owe him anything. This guy averaged as many turnovers as he did assists in that last series he played where they got closed out.
We were speculating he would get traded.
See, that's the only thing I think. So here's the deal. With the Supermax contract, you're not allowed to put a no-trade clause in a Supermax contract. So it would make more sense to me if they signed him to this deal and then they traded him.
Right.
Or maybe, Z, we're completely missing this thing, and maybe Tatum's the guy that they're not going to re-sign. Maybe he's the guy that they trade or they let go. He does have more value than Brown, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. They play the same position. Like, they're not the next Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. So Tatum's a far better player. You know, he doesn't even, I mean, you got to average at least 20 points in the NBA these days, and he don't even do that. Both of them don't dribble well. Sorry, I love Tatum. I think he's a good player. They neither of them dribble well. They turn over the basketball. What's the ceiling here? Like, let's say they don't get out of the second round this coming year, which is very possible. They could get beat by a Miami Heat team. They could get beat by a Knicks team. They could get beat by a Milwaukee team. So let's say they don't get out of the second round this next year. Then what?
They could get beat by a Cleveland Cavalier team.
Absolutely. 100%. That's on the rise. You would think that they're going to be a little better. And that's the thing. It's like we've seen this team peak. Like, what statistics are they looking at to say, you know what? We're knocking on the door. But we're not only gonna kick the door in next year, but we're gonna be kicking the door in for the next several years. Like, what are they looking at to see that? Kristaps Porzingis only signed a 2-year deal. So what happens when he leaves? What's the grand scheme here? Well, I'd love to know that's why. This is what I came up with. I came up with two scenarios. This is the only way this makes sense. You sign him to a Supermax deal, but you're going to move him.
Right.
The only other possibility, Z, this is the only other possibility, is you're going to trade Jason Tatum this year. There's no way you're going to give all your money to these two guys. You want to see how that works out? Ask the Portland Trailblazers how that works out. Like, that's not going to work, man. They play the same fucking position.
I got to say, though, like, Jason Tatum is a more more appealing trade candidate than Dame Lillard.
Yes. Yes, that's the only thing. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, okay, they're locking down Brown. Right? Because they know that they're going to have to pay Tatum more. Or whoever gets Tatum is going to have to pay Tatum more.
Yeah.
So let's pay Brown. Let's go through this season. We know we're at 4 or 5 or 6 at best, especially without Marcus Smart. Kristaps is good, but let's say it doesn't work. It doesn't, like, this plan doesn't work. We're going into the break a 4 or 5 or 6 seed. Mm-hmm. All right. We're getting better. We're going to sell Jason Tatum. And wherever he goes to, we'll be able to sign him to a max deal. And that's it. That's the only thing I can think of.
I already have the team, if you're interested in the team. Like, I think I'm playing Nostradamus here. I think this team, Ed, would benefit greatly from Jason Tate. I can pair him with a young, budding superstar. You ready for this?
Yeah.
San Antonio Spurs. Pair him with Wemby. Instead of Zion, instead of Ja, like we've been saying, what if the move is Tatum?
What's it going to take? Like, what? Who do you get given? Draft picks? Ooh. What are you giving?
You're going to have to give.
If I'm Boston, I need 2 players. I need 2 high draft picks.
Well, the picks you can do. Absolutely do.
You're giving me 2 first rounders.
Yeah. Maybe some pick swaps.
You got to give me 2 players. Pick swap. You got to give me 2. Yeah, we can pick swap, but you got to give me 2 players. And they got to be players I could start.
Well, that's the thing. What's going to crack this lineup? Now, are you willing to, if Pop, are you willing to part with one of these guys that are starting to come together, right? Like a Sochan. Is that the guy? Or are you maybe sending back Campaign? Because you got him, and the Celtics can always use a point guard. Now, is that going to help facilitate matters? Like, I'm not saying Campaign is the centerpiece of it.
No, I do.
But he's definitely
I was also thinking the Lakers. Mm. And I was thinking the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because Oklahoma City Thunder have picks and they got talent.
That is true.
And they can the Oklahoma City Thunder could look at Tatum as the next Durant. Like, you know, he could do a lot of what Durant does. And we'll take him. And we'll give you picks. We'll give you 2 players. And we'll sign him to a supermax deal because we'll pay him.
That makes a lot of sense, because if you're trying to move a Jaylen Brown contract,
I'm guessing the market wasn't. I'm guessing the market wasn't hot for Brown. I'm guessing it wasn't hot for Brown.
I mean, at this point now that he's signed, like, that make matters a little bit easier, because now the market, you don't have to worry about, you know. You don't have to worry about the contract status. It's there. Like, it's done. So now it's all about negotiating, you know, for him. But logically, better player. Tatum is the more reasonable, attainable get at this point. And
I could sell him to all every team. Every team would be interested in him.
And
Jaylen Brown, I don't think every team would want him. He's a certain, you know, he's getting a certain crowd.
And what if, maybe this is also from the Porzingis standpoint, that Brown plays better with Porzingis than Tatum will. Maybe it's a little speculation on their part.
Yeah, sure. You got to think that's the angle here. I would be floored if they go and sign Tatum next year to another supermax deal, because then all your money is tied into players for the next 5 years, and Kristaps is leaving in 1. So who are you surrounding these 2 A-minus B-plus players with? And it's no knock on Tatum, because I think he is super good. He's of the camp of very good. He's not a killer, though. You know, Jimmy Butler's a killer. Jason Tatum's not a killer. I've seen him shoot in Game 6 and Game 7 and Game 5. So he's not a killer.
No, he can be stopped. He can be shut down. Absolutely.
Right. Oh, and he goes cold. I'm talking about he'll go in the fourth quarter and score no points. Mm-hmm. He'll have a first half with no points. When he goes cold, he goes cold.
Well, it sounds like James Harden already.
Yeah.
So imagine blowing up your team just to keep Kristaps Porzingis. Imagine the world we're living in where the Celtics have totally upended themselves just to appease Kristaps Porzingis. I don't understand that. Not one bit. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs from men and women. That's fckclout.com. But speaking of upending the world, in football, we're transitioning to the business side of football. Two guys got paid yesterday. So Justin Herbert inked his deal for over $262 million. And Saquon amended his contract, and he got a little bit more guaranteed money, more incentives, just slightly more than he would have gotten in the franchise tag. So which deal is more important, Herbert or Saquon?
I mean, Z, I have to ask you about Saquon because I don't really get it. I don't really understand what happened because
this was the conference call. This is the conference call they got on. So just take the fucking money.
Yeah, I mean, so I was watching Mike Florio earlier today, and he said that when the Giants informed Saquon that they were going to franchise tag him, Saquon's camp asked to be traded. The Giants said, okay. They reached out to 12 teams. All 12 teams were not willing to give Saquon the contract that he wanted. And then that's how the whole franchise tag thing unfolded. My whole thing is, hear me out. On the franchise tag, I get it. It's only for a year. But he's getting the average of the top five, right, running backs in the market. So yes, so at $10 million, he's already one of the top paid running backs. So what's the problem? So what did they do? They gave him $2 million in guaranteed money. They gave him $10 million in guaranteed. Like, I don't understand what drastic change took place. Because, Z, they can franchise him again next year. So I feel like the Giants won. I don't see how Saquon won here.
Saquon got about, like, $1.1 million more.
He planned on getting a few more incentives.
This is what we're talking about. This is what we're saying fuck the Giants about. This is what we're saying fuck the Giants about, fuck my teammates about. You wanted $2 million.
I really think this is the nature of the conference call. Like,
and from what I understand, he has to – I think the Giants have to make the playoffs. And he has to score 15 touchdowns and have like 60-plus receptions for his incentives to – really kick in.
I think it's 1,300.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if that's total or on the ground.
Yeah.
So, 1,350. But that'll kick the number. So it has a ripple effect, right? Because you have Jacobs, you have Tony Pollard, you have Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott. You have lots of guys who are not benefiting from this because this is the market that Saquon is setting. And
yeah, I'm wondering if those guys got on a conference call and were like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So
I would think they got on a conference call. I was like, yo, what is he doing? What is he doing? The only person I can get on board with not reporting is Josh Jacobs because my man led the league in rushing last year. he's going back to Vegas, where tomorrow's not promised to anybody. So I can get on board with him missing camp, and I don't know him. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. It seems like he's in that kind of character where he would miss camp and be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Saquon didn't come off to me like that kind of guy. Maybe that's because I'm a New York guy and I see a lot of him and I see a lot of him. You know, he doesn't come off like, I feel like the Giants kind of called it. Giants kind of called his bluffs. Like, dude, you're not sitting out of camp.
Yeah, that's Barkley projects.
Yeah.
So that's,
it's like, dude, aren't you getting paid already from your endorsements? Don't you have a deal with like Nike, Pepsi, Subway? Like, we're talking about $2 million. Are we really just talking about $2 million?
And he's got Cam Newton's Oikos deal too. I think he's got yogurt deal.
I mean, whatever. Like, sure he's in camp, and I was talking to a guy at work yesterday, and he was all elated about it. I was like, "What's? I don't get it." Like, you don't want to come? Cool, I'll go sign Dalvin Cook. He can come play here on a dime. Like, whatever. Like, are the aspirations for the Giants to win the Super Bowl this year, Z? Do they really think that's like a possibility? Like, are they jumping over Dallas and they're jumping over the Eagles? Is that really what they're thinking over there?
Well, they think that last year they can build on last year. Now, three teams were in the playoffs last year from the NFC East. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. So, the Giants think they're in position to knock the Cowboys out and take second place.
All right,
and it's realistic.
Realistic. I mean, here Dallas has a far better defense. Far better defense. They've got a better defensive coach. They've got better defensive players. They probably have if not the best or the second or third best defensive player in the league. So,
big. No, do not give me that.
No. Micah Parsons.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the most, we can talk about Diggs.
No, I mean, he's better than any corner that the Giants have. I mean,
up there with them. What dig? He's good at jumping around. He's good at jumping the ball. Like, that is what he's good at. So was Deion. Deion was very good at that.
To go back to the original question, yeah, I think the Herbert deal was much more important. The Chargers got their guy for the next 5 years, and he is legit. And Joe Burrow's like, yes, excellent. But I do think Joe Burrow's gonna have a problem because the Bengals don't pay people. So I'm curious to see how that falls, because now that's the baseline. Right? If you're Joe Burrow's agent, all right, that's where we're starting. We're starting at $262 million, 200 guaranteed. That's where we're starting. But, I mean, I would assume it's going to be $300 million, right? It's going to be $300 million contract with $250 million guaranteed. That's if I'm his agent, that's what I'm saying. I don't care if you're the Bengals. It doesn't matter to me.
And I want longer than 5 years, too.
You do? I don't know if
I would want. I would want 5 years. I would want more than 5 years.
He's 24, 25. Because at the end of 5 years, he's technically in his prime.
He's 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah, perfect. So at 30, 31, I mean, he's going to be arguably the best quarterback in the league. Let me ask you a question. I'm curious what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Herbert is 25-24 as record as a starter. We've got Jackson, who's 45-16 as a starter. And we've got Hurts, who's 25-11 as a starter. You're starting a team tomorrow. Which guy are you taking? My answer might surprise you.
Jalen Hurts.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Lamar. I would immediately kind of, if I'm building for Hall.
You just start a team. You're starting a team. You're starting a team tomorrow. You could have any quarterback you want in the league. But yeah, these are the three. These are the three.
Jalen Hurts is younger, and I can get more and longer out of him. Now, he's also more mobile than Justin Herbert. I've seen a lot of good things from Jalen Hurts, and I would take him over both players. Now, they're all three of them would be good choices. Lamar, the injuries bother me, and I'm still not – he's still not a great passer. He's a good passer. He's not great. Yeah. Herbert is a great passer, but that's pretty much it.
You know, Dan Patrick had Steve Young on his show. And, you know, Steve Young was kind of saying, like, you need a quarterback these days that can run because there's so much open space. You have to take advantage of those freebies the defense is giving you. You have to take advantage of those yards. If you can't, you're not gonna win games. I thought that was very interesting. He just thinks the days of a Dan Marino, a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady are over. Not that they can't happen. It's just that the way defenses are run now, you got to be able to run for that 10-yard first down. You got to be able to scamper when the play breaks down, and none of those guys can really do any of that. To answer my own question, I would probably take Herbert because out of those three guys, I think he's the best passer. And I think he could run if he had to. And it doesn't have to be a necessary part of the game. Where I feel like with Hurts and Jackson, that is the best part of their game, is their ability to run. Jackson showed he can throw. Hurts became a better passer last year. We'll have to see if he can keep that thing going. But, man, Herbert throws darts. I mean, Herbert throws darts. His the only person slowing that guy down is his coach. Staley, man. So yeah, I think I'm curious to see what happens with the Burrow contract.
And that's like, what for me that's why the Justin Herbert thing isn't that big of a deal, because this is the stopgap till you get to the next one. Like, there's more intrigue with the Saquon Barkley, with the whole, you know, are they going to eliminate the running back position? There's some intrigue there, whereas Justin Herbert has a great contract this week. Somebody else is going
to
get paid.
You know, I got to try to talk about this with someone who's not a Giant fan, because I just don't understand what this man did to deserve the money he's asking for. Like, what did you do? There are perfectly good running backs sitting out on the street right now without a job, and you're crying because you want more than $10 million a year and you want a longer contract? Somebody was saying he wanted $17 million a year. They're like, that's not happening.
But here's the thing. Here's what you're missing is that they're also, these guys that you're talking about out on the street, they're not taking pay cuts to come to the Giants. Like, they know.
No, of course not. No, I know. I know.
So, like, this pipe dream of Dalvin Cook, 1 year, five, it's what it is. The pipe dream. Dalvin Cook is not coming here for $5 million.
Right.
Like, I don't know who put that out there, but it is.
No, I agree.
You need to go get drug tested.
I agree he's not going to come on a dime. I do. But what I'm trying to say is, like, there are guys that are just as good as you are or better than you out on the street without a job. And this is a team that's giving you a job. You want more money? Go out there and do something. Go beat Josh Jacobs and lead the league in rushing. Go be like Zeke Elliott and score 13, 14 touchdowns this year. Like, I don't think the answer is to fight with the New York Giants, certainly not to sit out. I think Travis Kelce is only making $10 million this year, and he's the best fucking tight end in the league. And he's got two Super Bowl rings. Like, you just, I like Saquon, and I get it, and I think he's a good guy, but I just think you're being unrealistic about this whole thing. Like, what are we talking about here? At some point,
and the reason why Kelce is making what he's making, and he's on record saying, is that if I get paid less and we win, I'm cool with that. And that's, at some point, it has to be about the team. It has to be about winning.
Yes.
At some point, you have to be cool with taking less. You have to be cool taking less if it means winning. Tom Brady was cool taking a lot less.
Yeah, well, his wife had a lot of money, so.
Well, I don't, even if she wasn't loaded, I think he, it's a mindset deal.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady was not poor by any means.
Right.
But if Welker got paid, if Edelman got paid, if Tooney got paid, if Andrews got paid, if they're happy, he's happy. It's important to note that if everybody on the team is happy, if everybody, then you're all direction. And I think that's important. And continuity is important.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
But we're going from continuity of running back to back. We'll see. Let's go. Irrelevant. He's back. Brock Purdy has been cleared to start camp, but he's on a pitch count. The former last pick in the draft was injured in the NFC title game last year, which required him to get rolling elbow this offseason. Should the Niners move Purdy, Trey Lance, or Sam Darnold to start
the season? That is certainly the golden question. But let's put it this way, Z. All those guys are probably going to get hurt this year because everybody gets hurt playing for Kyle Shanahan. I'm pretty sure McCaffrey's going to miss time. Brock Purdy's going to miss time. Lance's going to miss time. I think Darnold winds up playing the most. I just do. I'm sure Ayuk's going to get hurt. Deebo Samuel's going to get hurt. Kittle's going to get hurt. Everybody gets hurt playing for Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if it's the grass. I don't know if it's the scheme. Got no idea, but it's hard to stay healthy in San Francisco. So, you know, if I'm Shanahan, it's tough. If I'm Shanahan, I think this is going to surprise you. I think I have to go with a healthy Trey Lance. I have to at least see what he's got, right? I traded up for this guy. I haven't gotten to see it yet. I have to see it. You know, I know what Brock Purdy is. He's a fine player, fine quarterback. There's tape on him now. He's coming off a pretty bad injury. And so is Trey Lance. But I think if Lance is healthy, that's the guy that I have to go with him. Because if I don't go with him, then the draft is just a waste of time. Because you're talking about you're going to start the last guy in the draft over the guy you traded up for. What does that say to the ownership? What does that say to what's going on here?
Well, where was Sam Darnold picked? What pick was he picked? The draft is a crapshoot.
I think Sam Darnold's a better player than people are giving him shake for. That Jets situation was terrible. I don't even think Adam Gase is coaching high school right now. But then he goes to Carolina, where he did play very well in the beginning. And then, you know, reality came in. Another schmuck coaching him who's not in the NFL anymore. Like, he hasn't had a coach like Shanahan. He hasn't had a guy that – and I don't even like Kyle Shanahan, but I think he knows more than those two clowns.
He may know more than Matt Rhule. He may know more than Adam Gase, but
– where is Adam Gase right now?
I think he is coaching high school. I think he's a quarter. He's not even a head coach. He's a quarterback's coach.
Google already knew what I was talking about. I gotta see this shit.
Sam Darnold. There's enough tape on Sam Darnold to know that he's just good enough to get you beat. That is who he is. At this point in his career, he's a journeyman quarterback. And yes, he's a victim of the Jets. But you know who else was a victim of the Jets? Geno Smith. 3 years. Mark Sanchez was a victim of the Jets for years. Unfortunately, they got chewed up and spit out by the New York Jets. There's still time for Sam Darnold to recover. There's still time. Time and opportunity. If he can make the most, kudos to him. Much like Geno Smith, right? He was given an opportunity last year. We thought the Seahawks were going to be the drizzling shits. Geno Smith strapped that team on his back. It is possible. Stranger things have happened. We've seen stranger things happen. But I'm in agreement with you. You have to see what you have with Trey Lance. If not, just to showcase him if you want to trade him.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Like, either you're showcasing him to trade, or you legitimately believe he's the guy and you're going to give him the burn. They are in what we like to call Jordan, right? LaFleur is saying half a season to evaluate Jordan. Okay. I mean, what's the point of training camp? What's the point of practice? Do you know what he's doing in practice? So you see him every day, or at least that's the theory. So you've seen him. You've on him. Like, Trey Lance.
A clean slate as you could possibly get. We still don't know what he could be. So I think that it would behoove.
You're 100% correct. How many guys are going to quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in the biggest moment of the year? And at the end, it was Christian McCaffrey. Like, those guys were under center.
Because you couldn't keep a quarterback healthy. And that's, I'm thinking Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a resurgent year because he's not in San.
You're crazy. You're crazy if you think.
What's happening?
You're crazy.
Stranger things have happened. Like, he's actually, like, he's going back into the Patriots system. The Patriots knew how to protect their quarterback. So it's possible. It is within their own possibility. Call me crazy. I'm fine. I will take that mantle. But
I think he got hurt with the Patriots too, didn't he? The only place he doesn't get hurt is the strip club.
He doesn't get hurt on the bench holding, and he got a splinter from the clipboard. But
he goes, like, you can't
rush him back. You know? Like, he's,
it's unslowing him. Like, you can't rush this back. You gotta give him.
Presence, pace, and if you're still in it, which
you should be, right? You have the talent is there, the cupboard is not bare. He can tend you.
So when Purdy comes back, you can hit the ground running if Lance hasn't stolen the job from him. But in terms of Lance, you have no choice.
You invested so much. Right? This is your heir apparent.
This is why you did what you did. So you made the trade. Now you gotta live with it. And if it's a bad trade, it's gonna go down as a bad trade. But you have to see it through. You have to at least try to make it work. And the Niners are trying to make it work. Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up.
Make sure you follow him on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give him a call, 845-641-3043, and tell him D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie. Speaking of trade, the MLB trade deadline is coming close. It is rapidly approaching, and not much is happening. So a couple things here and there. The Dodgers are making moves to try and better their team. They have acquired Kike Hernandez, Red Sox, possibly to bolster their outfield, or considering the fact that he's a jack of all trades. And about an hour ago, before we did our production meeting, the Guardians traded Ahmed Rosario to the Dodgers for Noah Syndergaard, a little Met for Met swap. So Kike should help out the Dodgers again. You're getting a young shortstop who's got pop. He's got a pretty good glove. She can also play the outfield, so a little bit more versatility. Do you see these acquisitions helping the Dodgers get where they want to go?
Well, the good news for them is they're first in the West. I mean, for the first time in a while, right? They're 3.5 games up on the Giants. That's nice. 4 games ahead of the Diamondbacks, and geez, 10 games ahead of the Padres. What the hell are the Padres going to do?
Blow it up. Blow it up.
I don't know what their intentions are. If their intentions are to win a World Series, then they're going to have to go get Shohei Ohtani. If your intentions are to make the playoffs and see what happens, then yeah, you're in good shape. You're gonna need the bats to all be on point, and you're gonna have to find someone other than Kershaw to win games. And getting rid of Noah Syndergaard, I don't know if that helps.
Addition by subtraction.
Yeah, I don't know if that helps, but like I said, I'm standing firm with. I mean, I really do think the Braves are the class of the National League. And up until this point, I have not seen a team in the National League that can hold a candle to them. It looks like the Reds are falling apart, which is good. Braves can beat the Brewers. It's not a problem. So, yeah, that's where I am.
So, I'm not so sure that they need to get Shohei Ohtani. I think they could possibly work some other trades, especially with the two New York teams, as they are falling out of contention. Two guys that I'm particularly looking at if I'm the Dodgers, Giancarlo Stanton.
Really?
And Max Scherzer.
Really?
Yes.
You want that hot garbage?
Here's the thing. The Dodgers have a reputation for taking these guys, a la Albert Pujols, and finding a way to use them that accentuates what they have left. Albert Pujols was dead in the fucking water, and then he became a valuable key cog to that team. So you plug Stanton into the DH role, or shit, put him in the outfield from time to time. You know, the Yankees have him in protective glass. You know, maybe you want to like see what he's got. But you know, the Rosario trade, the Hernandez trade, they bolster the outfield and the infield because you can actually move Mookie Betts back to the outfield. He's been playing second base most of the year. So that improves your outfield defense. And that will kind of lengthen your order a little bit because Ahmed Rosario is not terrible. Despite what...
He's awful. He's absolutely awful. He was on my fantasy team this year. I couldn't trade him. I wound up cutting him. He's still available in the league. He's awful.
3.49
steals, 306 on base percentage, 369 slugging.
Garbage. So,
the
baseball is in terms of contact hitting. But in terms of and I'll go after Scherzer. They fly under the radar and get and give less for Scherzer and hope that I can catch lightning in a bottle again. Because when Scherzer was a Dodger, he performed well. He did, his arm did.
That's up to Dave Roberts to protect him.
Dave Roberts has to realize this guy can only go five innings now. But he will not go more. When he will go more than five innings when we're in the National League Championship Series. And fly. That is what, you know, will save Max Scherzer. But Moreno would never trade into the Dodgers. Never, ever. And in this thing. And by the time they decide they're in, or
so I need to look at what's out there.
If I'm going to kind of rate these, Amed Rosario, I would give a C. Kike Hernandez, I would give a C-. Hernandez is not having a good year at all. But that could also be kind of, that can be explained away from the fact he's playing shortstop. And he's not a great shortstop. He's a second baseman. He's a center fielder. They stuck him there because the one of the worst signings ever, Trevor Story, has not panned out for the Red Sox. He's hurt again. I know, you're shocked. Trevor Story's hurt. But like, he stepped in a pinch, did the best he could. The Red Sox kept faith. A few more of these veteran additions, like the Dodgers are want to do, and I think they'll be solid. Now, I think they need more pitching. And these two teams are seemingly earmarked for that. Too soon. Yeah, now we're playing. If the Giants somehow pry Justin Verlander away, because that's the latest.
The Giants have been sniffing around JV.
And he may. Maybe he would consider doing that, considering the fact he has one more year left on his contract. These are things that only the beginning. We still have some time. Teams are going to fall out of the waist,
out of contention,
and they're going to solidify whether or not they're buyers and sellers. And when they do, oh, don't you worry, the Dodgers will be calling.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646 646- 221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week. All right, boys and girls.
You were cutting in and out a lot in that last segment. Just an FYI.
Oh, great.
just let you know.
Oh, fantastic. All right. We have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, the Subway Series means nothing outside of New York this week.
Man, that's fair. Both these teams are trash. It's like, I wouldn't give a shit if the Dodgers were playing the Angels right now. Like, the Yankees are in last place. They're in last place in the AFC East, and everybody will say, oh, well, you know, all the teams in the American League East are really good. I don't hear that garbage. They should be better than – they should at least be better than the Rays, better than the Sox. The Red – they should be better than the Red Sox, not better than them. And I will say about the Mets, if they've really been playing hard since the All-Star break, they've really turned it up. Believe they're still pretty far back of Atlanta, but they're gaining ground on the Marlins, and I think they're 5-5 in their last 10, but you can see that there is a lot more going on in that dugout, a lot more going on with that team, where there's a lot more effort being made.
It's a regional footnote. I think it's fair that it means nothing. Like, the Yankees are a national, international brand. The Mets are not. Like, the Mets are a regional brand. Maybe you'll see some fans that, you know, moved from New York and took their regional fandom with them. But it's not Yankees Red Sox. It's not something that moves the needle nationally. And baseball in general is becoming more regionalized, right? You'll have your Cardinals, Cubs. They're not that far away from each other. I wouldn't say that's a national rivalry. Like Brewers, Cardinals, again, not national. Dodgers, Giants. Not national. Padres, Giants. Padres, Dodgers. No, still very regional. Baseball is in this point where, and it's probably due to the oversaturation, due to the unbalanced schedule, that on a national level, people just got tired of seeing some rivalries. The fact that the Yankees played the Red Sox 19 times in a given season, like, that's fatigue. It's very easy to get fatigued on that. Now, the Mets and Yankees only played each other 4 times. So 2 at City, 2 at Yankee. But it doesn't have the same cachet because of the regionalization, and just the Mets don't have that cachet as much as the Yankees do. It also hurts that both teams are thoroughly mediocre. Both teams are hurt by that, and it's not soon. The Yankees are pretty meh. They still need to decide, even though they're six games over 500, and maybe if they catch fire, can get a wild card. Is it going to be a realistic get? Right? And what's it going to cost to get them there? Like, that's the other question. What's going to cost them to get it there? The Mets sell off pieces. Right? This has been
a disappointing season, the amount of investment that Steve Cohen made. If the Mets can get something for some of these assets before they leave, right? Your Canas, your Tommy Pham's, your David Robertson's. If you can get a prospect, then you can accelerate the curve again and you can come head back up. Think about when the Mets traded Beltran, right? They traded Beltran to the Giants. Who did the Mets acquire from the Giants in exchange for Carlos Beltran?
I don't remember.
Zach Wheeler.
That guy.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal by Sandy Alderson. So it's within the realm of possibility that the Mets can, you know, sell some of these guys and get some building blocks for their future. But it's a slog to watch. The Subway Series is a slog to watch right now. And Yankee fans and Mets fans alike are kind of on this. They're turning their ire towards the front office. Both teams. Fair or foul, number two. Aaron Judge has to be in the Yankee lineup come August 1st.
That's fair. That's fair. You talk about that resurgence. You talk about the resurgence, that catching fire. That's the fire. That's the igniter. It has to be him. Rizzo has not hit a home run in over 170 plate. He might not hit a home run ever again. Yeah, I'm saying it's fair.
It's absolutely fair. Right? They are 8 games out of first place. Their leading hitter is Gleyber Torres at 264. Aaron Judge still leads the team in home runs. Still.
Hasn't played in 2 months.
Yeah. They're 29th in batting average. They're 20th in the league in runs. The Bronx Bombers are tied for 20th in the majors in runs. They're 26th in on base, and they're 17th in slugging. That's not New York Yankee baseball. Aaron Judge needs to get back ASAP. Now, I'm not saying he has to play the field, right? Because he's coming off a tear in his toe. He has a toe tear tendon. Say that 5 times fast. Now, they desperately need a spark. He's the guy that can provide it to them. Now, if all breaks right, because he is taking BP with the team, he is taking, you know, fielding practice, he's shagging balls, all that, it's possible he could be in the lineup as early as Friday. As early as the 28th. Now, you shave off a few days. Is this and his performance enough to convince Brian Cashman to buy? I don't know. But if the Yankees are going to turn, or at least try to turn this around, Aaron Judge absolutely needs to be in this lineup in some form or fashion in the next 2 to 3 days. Otherwise, the ship will continue. Fair or foul, number three, the Bengals will whiff on the Joe Burrow contract.
I mean, it's fair. Fair, because more fair this week. Because they don't have any, I can't remember in the history of the organization where they were willing to pay any player top dollar. I mean, they've never had to do it. They've always had like a B player or a C player, like Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon. They never had a guy that could potentially be like the face of the league. So I think they're going to botch it. And I can't see the Bengals pulling this off.
They had one guy and they let him go. Norman Julius Esiason. So I think it's totally fair that they could botch this. What in their history indicates that they are going to be successful at this? Like, there is none. You're absolutely right. Ken Anderson? Zero. Nope, zero. Like, Ken Anderson? Boomer Esiason? Carson Palmer retired instead of playing. He said, fuck this. I'm out. Trade me to Oakland. Out. Oakland is more stable.
I'd rather go play in Oakland than play here.
I would rather go play for the Raiders. Think about that. Now, Joe Burrow is part of the culture change, along with Zach Taylor, along with Mixon, along with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. They are building something. It would be absolutely terrible. It would be wasteful if they somehow cock this up, right? You have the Ohio kid playing in Cincinnati, got the team to a Super Bowl. This team is young. You can't botch this if you're the Bengals. You have to give this guy what he wants. You have to. There's no point in playing hardball. For what end? To what end? You're going to cut off your nose to spite your face. So, you should, but history dictates, history shows us that the Bengals will bangle. It's just a matter of time. Browns are going to brown, Bengals are going to bangle. It's what they do. It's in their DNA. They can't help it. They cannot help it. Look what they tried to do to Joe Burrow in his rookie year. His knee looked like hamburger. It's by the grace of God he got back and took the team to a Super Bowl. So the market is set because of the Justin Herbert deal. Do not fuck this up, Cincinnati. Give the man what he wants. Give the man what he has earned.
Want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up a poll on our Twitter account @FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets the coveted ass trophy and a shout out on this here show. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
You know,
Carlos Rodon.
Yes! Yes, that was mine.
Getting blown out and then blowing kisses to Yankee fans. To Yankee fans! As you were off the mound after shit outing. But that was last. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, I got good ones. First up, I got the Tampa Bay Rays in the month of July, 5-15. Is reality starting to set in, or is something else going on? Tampa Bay Rays, you all are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. Next up is the Boston Celtics, giving a Supermax contract to the second best player on your team. Tatum can't wait for his new contract next year. And last but not least, the Boston Red Sox base runners, allowing the Braves to turn a triple play because you did not know how many outs there were and you tried to take third while the ball was still in the infield. Boston Red Sox, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got? D.
Great choices. A lot of Boston. See what you did there. A lot of Boston.
Cute, right?
Yeah. I'm going to start with Joe Louis. Not that guy. Not that guy. Not the one you're thinking of. The owner of Tottenham Hotspur. Implicated in insider trading. Yeah. But it's not looking good. It's one more problem for Tottenham. Joe Louis, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. FC. Oh, this was interesting.
Oh.
Controversial offside
against NYCFC that ultimately cost the boys in blue in their League's Cup game. But that's not why they're on this list. In response to everybody rightly saying that an offside with clear and obvious proof that this was a fixed job, Atlas proceeds to reference Goebbels, Joseph Goebbels. For those of you who, you know, fell asleep in history class, Joseph Goebbels a Nazi. Joseph Goebbels was a Nazi. Why are we referencing the Nazi? Atlas FC, guys, you didn't take down the tweet. Yeah, that much completely on, and you didn't even win. You didn't even win.
It's just a bad week. Had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
And you, of course, at you alleged.
Last but not least, Major League Baseball.
That's all you have. They re-upped Rob Manfred. They gave him an extension through January 2029. Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this to the game we love?
In every way. Was the pitch clock that good for you? Are you guys making that much money? That you can keep this... You really need to rethink this strategy.
The game's getting better. I don't think the game is growing. And
this guy, not the steward. That's what you want. Major League Baseball, you are my superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our Twitter account and vote for our nominee.
Just do better, boys. Just do better.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Order up!
It is time for us to continue
NFL division by division preview
as we order up.
Order up, order up.
We are ordering NFC West this week. Now, last year, D3. Let's see if we can do better this year than we did last year. Here we go.
All right. I am going to start with your favorite team, the Cardinals. They have nothing. Their best defensive player doesn't want to be there. Their second best defensive player retired. James Conner is their running back. Hopkins left. Their quarterback is a baseball player who tore his ACL. Oh my gosh. Their head coach got fired. He's now coaching janitors for USC. I don't know. The Cardinals are important. All right. In third place, I have the Rams. I believe the honeymoon's over. Word is they were shopping Stafford in the offseason. Cup's coming back from a serious injury. Akers is their running back, and McVay does not want to be there. So I have the Rams at three. Number two is going to surprise you. I have the 49ers. At some point, they will lose a player at every single position. it's just the way this works for Kyle Shanahan. His players get hurt. Everyone will get hurt to injury, and they'll wind up coming in second. They'll probably lead the division for most of the year, but I got them finishing in second. And number one in all your hearts is the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. I just believe in Geno, man. I see Geno just lighting it up again this year. He's playing hard. He's showing everybody they were wrong about him. I believe in Geno, Walker, Lockett, Metcalf. And I believe in Pete Carroll. I don't know what they're going to do defensively, but they might not have to do much in that division. So I got Seattle number one. What do you got, Z?
Solid choices, to be sure. We are in agreement on the Arizona Cardinals. They are absolutely awful.
The drizzling shits, as I think you like to say.
The drizzling shits. Now, Hollywood Brown. And that's it. No, they do have Zach Ertz, but yeah. Who has Zach Ertz as well, but Zach Ertz is currently injured. Kyler Murray is currently out. So you're dealing with Colt McCoy as your starter. Yeah. No, it's last place. It doesn't matter. He's good, but he's not good enough to move the needle. He's not good enough to get them out of last place. Number three. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think that it's going to be a more difficult year for Geno. I think that now that there's a year of tape, there's a year more of him under center, I think he will get more exposed. And I think everybody suffers because of that. So they're not by any means going to be bad, right? Three, I think instead of the NFC East having the three playoff teams, it's very possible the NFC West can have three playoff teams. It's within the realm of possibility. So I'm not saying they're having a bad year. I'm not saying that they're lobbying for the number one pick, but there is a definite regression from the Seattle Seahawks. They'll still be good. Just not as good as they were last year. Good up in third place. Two, I'm expecting a bounce back year from the Rams. I think that you're going to get Kupp back. Jefferson, they're going to make some moves. They always find a way to make moves, right? Mr. Fuck Them Picks. God knows what year he's going to start giving away 2087, 2088. But he is firmly in there. Les Snead is firmly in on this team. Now, it is within the realm of possibility that Stafford misses some time. he missed time last year. Hear me now, folks. Stetson Bennett will get a start this year. One for the Rams. And Stetson Bennett will be good. Hear me now. Stetson Bennett is going to be good in this league. He's going to get some time, and he's going to show you what Georgia was able to be as successful with him under center. Number one, They'll rotate through three quarterbacks. They'll rotate through six running backs and a partridge in a pear tree. But the San Francisco 49ers are going to take the division. They are too talented. They are too well coached. They're due for a little luck in terms of the injury bug. And when Brock Purdy comes back and is under center, I believe that he will take this team not only to the NFC title game, but through to the Super Bowl. He's that good. This team is that good. The question is, can they stay healthy? That's been the biggest bugaboo, and I think this is the year they figure it out.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.